Hey, yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne, the Biker in Black. Welcome to the show. On this episode, I got Mike Herrera from MXPX. I'm going to hit him up right now. Let's do this.
This is the new way to do it, bro.
Hey, this is the old way.
You got to record it and send that shit to me. That's the new. Wait, what am I looking? I'm looking at you here, right? You got to record that, send it to me, edit it.
I now work for you. No, I don't have to edit it. I download it from this little program, and this is a program that I have to use my old laptop with because they don't offer this on the new stuff. You know how like things get new and you had something working so well and then it doesn't work on a new computer, a new operating system? That is my life. I've got a recording setup kind of like that. I've got, you know, this podcasting setup is all like older stuff because it works well and then I have my new brand new computer that I just edit videos and do modern stuff on. But
how often do you do your podcast? You do it quite a bit.
Weekly, every Monday it comes out.
Yeah, that's dope. And it does do. That's what I need to do, man. I kind of do mine. Mine's just like sporadic because I'm so busy with so many different things, you know. And I'm total DIY. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. On down, even down to the video.
I'm all over the place, bro. Hold on. That thing's not loading. Yeah, I'm just holding my hand. I just feel so rigged to be like doing it this way. But
do you have a tripod? You can run and get a tripod.
No, I don't have one.
You should always have one as a podcaster. Always have a tripod.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well,
at any rate, now you probably will.
I mean, I have one. It's just going to take a minute. Yeah. I got one. Hold on.
All right.
I don't even need.
Just take me with you. Take me with you.
I don't need headphones to act like it's a podcast, but I got one. I got one right here.
This is the podcast right here. This is it. This is how to do a podcast or how not to do a podcast by Rick Thorne.
No, I need to be schooled. Hey, Thorne, you did all this TV work, but you can't do a podcast. You need to get it together, bro. You know?
Well, it was funny over the pandemic when people were locked in, you saw these like late night shows and talk shows and they're doing it from their bedroom or from their kitchen at their house. And it was just so funny. Just like, wow. Okay. Now you have to actually be entertaining because you don't have all the bells and whistles. Can you do that? And some of them could not.
No, they still can't. I mean, look, dude, my whole point, hold on, get this light here. My whole point of doing a podcast is really to just, I mean, you know, I don't know, everybody's different about it, you know, but they want to, sorry, it's my hand again, sorry, do you guys like my hand? Everybody's different. I just kind of am from like the generation of like, I wanted to interview someone and get to know them. I mean, I could do a podcast and talk about daily topics and stuff. But I think that's why like I'm kind of got that TV vibe, you know, like that's how we first met, you know, it was a Warped Tour. And then do you remember that show that I did with you guys for ESPN? It was my show. We did it in Vegas. You remember that?
Yes.
What? That's kind of my style. Like just to get to know you, that kind of vibe of a podcast. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So, you know, I don't know.
I like
rambling.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know because you know we got and stories. You know, but that was cool when we did that. That was a while ago.
I always loved getting to meet you and just getting to see a pro writer that was. You were always so positive. You were into music, you were into, you know, being cool to people, which, you know, I really feel like I've taken that my whole career. It's just like, I've always admired people that treated just everyday people. I don't know how to describe that, fans or non-fans, whatever. People on the street, you treat them with respect. You try to see eye to eye. And I try to do that. Like when I'm traveling, like I'll meet somebody that has no idea who I am. And that to me is a challenge to ask them some questions, find out if they're what they think is a boring life is actually kind of like interesting to me. I want to hear about a professional fisher. Like, how does that go? What do you do with that? Like, what kind of fish do you catch? You know, whatever it is, right? So seeing you doing something so different, but along the same lines, you know, similar culture, but different. You know, I grew up riding bikes. I grew up skateboarding.
Yeah.
I always thought I was going to be pro, but it just never happened. Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's, so you rode bikes and you skated.
Yeah. I did both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of kids do in the beginning. I mean, I hear, you know, dude, you got this vibe about you that you have like, what I like is like, you have a timeless vibe about you. It's always a positive vibe. When I thank you, or I think when people thank you, it's positive. It's from a positive place. And I think that's why they love you, and they love your music and the things that you do, because it's what you send out is what you're getting back a lot. And I believe that 100%. So thanks for saying that. I feel the exact same way about you. I think that, like, you know, it's funny. It's the last time that we actually hung out, though, was we did a show. And it was like up, like, I want to say, like, not Victorville, but something like that.
Okay? Yes.
And that dude, I'm telling you, before I went on stage, I got to tell you this. The dude's like, he's going to pay me a few $100. And I, you know, okay, let's, you know, nothing, just to play. All right, let's go. The second before I get on stage, he's like, hey, bro, just so you know, I can't pay you tonight. You can still play if you want to. I was like, bro, what the? And I remember you telling me, like, bro, don't be mad. It's just the music industry. It's messed up. You told me something along those lines. And I was on stage going, fuck this guy. This is bullshit. You know, they had the security guards came on stage. I was mad because, you know, I was getting punked. And I was like, oh, and you kind of like told me, like, oh, chill out. Like, I think he didn't pay you your full amount neither.
I didn't get paid either. Yeah, you know what? I in those were dark years, definitely. You know, I was doing a lot of solo shows. I was saying yes to a lot. I was scrambling around. And honestly,
yeah.
I think I learned that it's easy to say yes, and sometimes you get burned for it, you know? And that's what that was, is like being too easygoing. But we can't yell then. We kind of like, I don't know. It's like, for me, I was like, it's my fault for saying yes to the show. Like, I was just like, I was mad, but I was also like, I should have known, you know, I should have known, you know, and there's been times with MXPX, like also kind of dark years, in that when record sales started going down for everybody, CD sales were gone. Napster was the thing. A lot of bands were failing hard. Right. And so we had to scramble just the same as anybody, you know, doing weird things. And we went to Mexico and we went to South America and we worked with people we hadn't worked with before. You know, it was new people that tell you this, tell you that, tell you everything you want to hear. And without going too crazy into the details, I got a wire transfer that was fake. And so we're doing the whole tour. I get the wire transfer at the beginning of the tour. Cool. All right. It's going to take, you know, I don't know. The tour was only a week long or something. It was like a weekend to the next weekend. So we're doing Mexico. We're doing three cities in Mexico. We're doing three or four cities in South America, and that's including Colombia. And so actually now that I think about it, it's probably longer than 2 weeks. But the whole time we think we're on this tour, we think we're paid, we're good. And these guys are being the coolest to us, treating, you know, like, hey, let's get you some food here, piles of anything you want, all the drugs you want, whatever you want, right? Like that's the attitude, right? Like, tacos, here we go. And
like, we got you, bro, we got you.
Little do we know, we get home, where's the money? What? And we just, these guys just lied to our face. You know, they were the nicest people. And that taught me a huge lesson. That was around those years. It was right in there. And I probably was just like beaten down. And that's why I was like, Rick, don't be mad.
Oh, no, you were the right way. And that's a gnarly story. You know, we've had that happen a couple times with Action Sports, or, you know, we go to do a gig overseas or something. Someone tries to punk you.
Yeah.
I remember we all locked this guy in a room one time and was like, we're not leaving until we get our money.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And then you got to the point where you're like, all right, I want half up front, or like this side or the other. And things started to change. But yeah, I mean, I look, I'm same with me. I was, you could be, you know, you said something earlier I want to comment on, is like, yeah, you say yes to things is easy because you want to work and you want to be out there and you want to be doing things, but you got to be cautious too. And I think that's like that with BMX. That's definitely like that with comedy. You know, with a lot of things, is that, you know, you're right. Like, it's our fault that we'd agreed to do that, but we wanted to play, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wasn't anybody else calling? And those were weird years for me, too. You know, I just got divorced. You know, I was trying to, you know, hustle music and two kids. And I went, you know, that was my outlet. So, yeah. But yeah, thanks for that advice. Sometimes it's better to stay calm, but it's easy to be like, you know? That dude was lame, though.
Yeah.
Who says that? Have you ever had that before? Hey, thanks for coming out. You guys are awesome. I just want to know, I can't afford to pay you. If you want to play, it's still cool.
Like, what?
I mean, dude.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Like,
characters, man.
Anyways.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last. Crazy, somebody tries it.
So, and those were the solo years for you. So that was a hard, challenging time for you then.
Yeah, I mean, it was great, actually. I was doing Tumble Down on those years, which was my side project band, more of like a punk country kind of vibe, like folk vibe. But, you know, now that, you know, MXPX is back full roar, has been back for a while now, it's hard. It's funny. It's fun to like think of those times, because that it's almost like having like a second coming of a beginning of a career. Like, you know, because we started out in the early 90s and then we got, you know, Warped Tour in the late 90s, and that really propelled us into playing for big crowds. And so with MXPX, we were always doing great. But like I said, you know, the whole economy crashed around 2007, 2008, with the internet, dot-coms all crashing. And then the music business was not good. We didn't have streaming like we have it now. We didn't have, I mean, my checks were worth nothing. MXPX songs and all that. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to ever make money on music again, you know, except for like going out and playing it. Funny I say that then, you know, because now it's like crazy, you know, how much you get paid from streaming and from royalties on that kind of stuff. When you own your own music and when you can continually work that music, it really does keep you propelled. It keeps the lights on. Between that and having multiple streams of revenue coming in with band stuff, not just from live stuff, but also from digital sales, online, you know, merch sales, and of course live a little bit. Live's almost like the last place we ever make money nowadays, because things have changed so much juxtaposed to how they were when we were talking about in the late 2000s, 2007, 2008, in there. It really didn't start getting good until like 2014, 2013. MXPX, to be honest, we're late to streaming. We didn't even start submitting our stuff to streaming until our 2018 self-titled album. So we did that, and we're like, wow, this is actually really good. Like, let's push streaming. And, you know, and we've been doing these live streams as well over the pandemic, and continue to do them a little bit here and there. And it's been amazing. So like, technology has really saved musicians, I think, that are willing to try something new. And I feel like that saved MXPX, because if MXPX had, if streaming had not come along, I wouldn't be able to afford to live, you know, and I'd have to get a job at Taco Bell or whatever, you know, whatever I'm qualified, which is Taco Bell, I think I'm qualified for. But
you might, I don't know, KFC's good too.
Sometimes we get the double store where KFC and Taco Bell's together. That's the best of both worlds.
Actually, we had one that was KFC, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut.
Yep.
And we call it Kentaco Hut. What's up with Kentaco Hut?
Yes.
You can work there, bro.
I could work there.
I get it, bro. It's not easy, and people think that it is. But yeah, keep going. Tell me about this, because some people would disagree, musicians, because I've heard the old schoolers be like, oh, streaming, and it's a ripoff, you're not going to Spotify and all these things. Like, they're totally against it. And it's like, I think they're just from a different time.
School. Yeah.
Yeah,
think of it this way. Think of it, somebody that will never be able to see you live would never be able to come to a show and buy your record. They can listen to your record across the world, and that is what streaming is great for. People that can't afford to mail order your record all the way across the world, maybe they don't even have a player, but they have a phone. So everybody's got a phone, and if you can reach people through the phone, that is what now is all about. It doesn't matter if you're a musician, a comedian, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're even in entertainment. You could just be a person that has a car washing business. You reach people through your phone.
Yeah.
That's it. That's just, that is the game right now, unfortunately. And you don't have, doesn't mean you have to play all this, the cliche phone games. You have to realize that this phone is where you're going to find people. So communicate somehow with them through that. And we do this podcast, but then it's going to end up on the phone, and they're going to listen to the podcast on the phone. Most people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's funny you say that, because speaking of like comedy, especially, that's another thing, is maybe the old schoolers would be like, you got to earn your wings in this club, work your way up, and this and that. And it's like, well, there's a thing called the internet, and comedians are popping up all over the place because they're building fan bases, not grinding just in the clubs. And even though you have to be in the clubs and doing your set and working on new material, it's like you could still create a fan base. And I tested that out, actually, and I was like, wow, if you do like something funny online, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's going to get a lot more views, and people are going to get involved and say, oh, this guy's into comedy. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's not just the people in the club seeing it. So I agree with you. I always thought the internet was a tool that was like, you know, the phones and stuff a way to, like, you know, like a sponsor, let's say. If you want to get sponsored, DM someone. Your Instagram is your resume, right? If mm-hmm. you treat your Instagram like that.
Absolutely.
Way different than how I grew up. I was like, way different, you know? So if you utilize it right, which it sounds like you're doing, you could excel further and keep going. And that's the whole point of, like, you know, being an artist. It's not always 100% easy.
Yeah. Something I'm realizing is if you just ask people, you might not get an answer, but every now and again you get a yes, you know, and we don't, as musicians, we don't ask each other for favors enough. Cause over when we launched our new album, we have a new album out that we're actually going to be touring on live, have been, and are still going to be, this year. It's called Find a Way Home. And to launch it, we partnered with a bunch of bands. We partnered with Vans Warped Tour. I called Kevin. I was like, hey, can we use Vans Warped Tour's YouTube and Facebook? And he's like, yeah, sure. And so when we went live to play our full album, when it launched, we were live on a bunch of these different YouTubes and Facebooks. And so, like, if you're just like,
that's a great idea, dude. That's sick.
And you just randomly see us pop up on, like, the Warped Tour Facebook. You're like, wait, is Warped Tour coming back? Like, all these questions come in, but you also see, oh, what is this? MXPX. Oh, yeah, I know. You know, whatever.
Wait, so that's what that post was that Kevin posted with you guys.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I saw that. I didn't know that that's what that was.
Unless there was, I mean, I hung out with him like a couple weeks ago. Was there a recent
that
post?
That might have been it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was something different. MXPX was playing the Palladium, which, man, I'm sorry I didn't invite you. I should have invited you. I didn't even think of it. But we were at the Palladium.
I couldn't get my podcast camera together. And so,
still working on it. All good. Next time, you absolutely come out. But
no, man, it's cool. I know you guys sold it out, and that's sick.
It was dope.
But I want to ask you something. I want to back up for a second.
Sure.
I don't know the story. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know if you want to talk about it. I get it. I understand band stuff. It's complicated sometimes. Sometimes not. Why did you guys take a break for so long? Were you guys just over it? Was one of the band members wanting to do something else alive? I don't know the story with that. Could you let me know?
Well, we didn't really take a break ever.
You kept writing music, you just didn't do shows and stuff. Is that what it was?
We went down to like one or two shows a year for lean years. So we actually never even didn't play. So what you're thinking of is I did the MXPX All-Stars because Tom and Yuri, you know, they were like, they weren't quitting the band, but they got jobs. And so they're like, we're going to stop touring for a while. And this is 10 years ago. And so that kind of killed the band in a way, but we didn't break up. We were just, okay, we're not going to do shows for a little bit
because of life. I get it. Yeah.
But we had Japan booked and some Indonesia and a few other shows down in the Southeast Asia. And so we did the MXPX All-Stars because we already had the and they're like, we can't go. We're like, what do we do? So I had Chris Rowe from the Ataris and Chris Wilson, the former drummer of Good Charlotte. I had them be MXPX and we did the tour, and that kind of became an idea to like continue to play now and again with MXPX when Tom and Yuri couldn't do it. And then a few years later, Tom came back full time, and then Yuri came back full time, and we started ramping back up, and now we're full time MXPX again.
Of course.
But I mean, why would you know the details anyway? But to a lot of people, we put out our Both Ends Burning DVD, and that DVD sends the wrong message because it kind of sends a message of we're done, you know? But at the time, it kind of felt like we might have been done. Yuri was going to quit, and we did this show in Vegas, packed out, and he changed his mind after doing that show. He's like, I don't think I want to quit now, you know? So we're like, all right, good. Don't quit. Let's go. And so we've kind of like, we've teetered on that edge.
Yeah.
During those hard times, especially where we weren't making enough money to pay the guys, you know, we've gone through those times. I mean, even when things were going well through 2015, 2016, we're selling out all these shows, 2017, still selling, you know, bigger and bigger venues, working our way back up to the venues we've always done and past that even with that, we went broke when we made our new record, the 2018 self-titled record. We didn't have a store of money, you know, we didn't have a credit. We have our credit cards. It's like 20,000 or something. It's like ridiculous. It's nothing. So we made this record and we're broke. So we did a Kickstarter, and that Kickstarter really did well. We surpassed our 50,000 marker in like an hour. And so wow. I think we ended up making
in an hour?
Over
amazing.
Yeah, over 300 grand we made just to make that record on Kickstarter. Wow. And that was a huge success for us. It was a lot of cash all at once for a band like us. And that's only just, that sort of was the Kickstarter to MXPX being a steamroller. Like, we've had this box sets that have come out. We've done vinyl re-releases on our own that have sold thousands and thousands and thousands of vinyl in just a couple weeks. And if we have a couple of those, one of those a year, we then can have the money to put back into touring, to put back into, you know, paying our people. You know, our crew has grown from like a 2 or 3 person crew to like a 12 person crew over just like 2 or 3 years. And that's just live. I'm not even counting like management and our merch store. We have a merch store that we own, and it's just our own stuff, MXPX stuff. And, that's been a lot of work, but it's been so helpful in keeping us autonomous, keeping us having because when you own your own stuff, you're going to make more money. Yes, the problems you own as well, as always, as a business owner. But I think there's going to be problems anyway in life, so that you might as well have control of something. So MXPX is all about owning, even if it's a little bit. We just own a little piece of this planet, you know, and yeah. We can spit shine it and take pride in it and polish it, you know, every week. And as long as we can do that, I think people are going to continue listening. We're going to continue to be able to put our heart into something we love, because I would not want to go work at Taco Bell, as much as I love Mexican food.
Taco Hut.
Yeah. I'd rather be here talking to you and then, you know, practicing my guitar and trying to think of alternate.
But you have that in you. You're that kind of person, I think, to where you keep reinventing yourself. And I think that, like, by you doing a podcast and you saying, all right, I'm going to keep this band going, and that inspired the guys to say, oh, we want to come back. Or not back, but, you know, we want to get back on stage. Let's do this. And then even to the fact that you're in Goldfinger. You know, you're able to send that vibe. I think you're going to be completely awesome the rest of your life and the things that you do, because you're able to reinvent. And that's something I relate to, because that's something that I heavily do constantly in order to survive and raise 2 kids in California. All right. That's all I have to say. Single. It's insane. I'm juggling a million different things, and I see you doing the same. And that's why I was like, all right, you know, we have the same thing in common, that I think you're in that position you're in. You say you're owning things. You learn from you're learning from your, like, you know, same with me. You want to own property. I call it property, meaning the, like, you know, if it's my band or my comedy or me as a brand, as a bike rider, you know, you own these properties, and that's where you're going to succeed the most. And that's where I think, you know, it sounds to me like that's where you've gotten. And now you're really, I feel like, how rad is that you guys sold out the Palladium? I mean, that felt pretty rad.
Yeah, it was huge, right? Huge for us. I mean,
that's amazing, bro. I was like, because I had seen that pop up, and I was like, oh, that's sick. You know, I mean, not to say you came back, but, you know, feel what you've been through and get reacted, and like, all right, boom, and it sells out. Like, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, I mean, it took us 10 years to come back from, you know, we did 3 nights at the Troubadour, which is great. I mean, that's not a slouch thing to do at all, especially as fast as we sold those tickets. But to come from, like, doing those types of venues, and then we moved up, you know, through the House of Blues and the Anaheim, and selling those out, and the Observatory, selling those out. And so, like, the Palladium was the next step. It's like, well, I guess we could go to Henry Fonda Theater, but it's no big deal. We've already played there with Rancid, and we could sell that out easily based on our, you know, past experience with House of Blues and all that. So, like, we just knew we needed to step up a bigger venue, come back to the Palladium, headline it. We had been there with Simple Plan co-headlining. We had been there with Reliant K co-headlining. And so to headline ourselves completely was what we needed to do, I think, you know, kind of like it's next steps for us, next level. But I think after this, what, the Forum?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's put a ramp in there.
I don't doubt it at all, man. I think you guys have built like such a solid fan base, and keep building your fan base. I think, yeah, like, go, dude, go all the way. Go to Madison Square Garden, do all that, dude.
That'd be amazing. That's a dream.
Comedians right now are killing the game too, bro.
They are. Like, oh my gosh.
As long as I've been alive, like, I think Netflix really catapulted like people's interest in comedy, and people want to do comedy. But it blows me away when I see these comedians, like, they're selling out, like, and it's awesome. They deserve it. It's like, you know, it's like they're the new rock stars. But yeah, I say, do it, bro. Do it all. I mean, go as big as you can and keep going. I mean, you're too old to go back now, bro. What are you going to do? Taco Hut? That can happen.
I know.
Hey, how's the new record doing, by the way? Pretty good or what?
The new record's great. Great response. We're going to be playing New York City this, well, I don't, when's this coming out? Do you know? I don't know.
Oh, I'm going to put this up like right away.
Oh, well, February 9th coming up, New York City, Webster Hall, MXPX and the Ataris. And then it's sold out the next night in Philly. But there's still tickets available for New York. But not many. I heard it's like 100 tickets or less. So by the time this comes out, you're going to be squeaking to get there. But I would love to see anybody out there that's listening to this podcast come say what's up. But yeah, MXPX, we got a bunch of shows coming up. We have Atlanta and Orlando, March 15th and 16th. Still tickets available on MXPX.com. MXPX and the Ataris for those. We love the Ataris. They complement MXPX in a great way. I've always, you know, been a friend with Chris Rowe. And so anytime we can kind of do some shows with them is fun. But we have a bunch more.
Cool, man.
We have some more coming up, but they're already sold out, so I won't waste your time. And we're working on some that we're about to announce. So I it's coming up. It's coming up.
And then
it's been
your podcast, the talk about your podcast once a week, you said?
Yeah, every Monday I put out a podcast called the My Career Podcast. It's me. I have guests on. You've been on the podcast. We just talk like we're talking now. Sometimes it's a little more pointed on, like, I want to talk about songwriting. I love to talk about that kind of stuff, get real geeky, get real deep into songwriting and the process of being a creative. Business, music business, I get into that a lot on the podcast, and I take voicemails. And something I've been doing the last half a year or so, I've been doing a new Music Monday every now and again where people submit to the Micro Podcast Facebook group. You can submit a YouTube link of a song you want, and I'll actually play like the first bit of the song, listen to it a little bit, and then like comment on it and put the link out for everybody. So people can find new music from indie artists or any artist, you know, your favorite artist that you might want me to listen to, that kind of thing. It's been really fun. It's been fun to see people engage in that, you know, they want to hear themselves on
awesome.
It. Yeah. So the new record, by the way, Find a Way Home, it's doing great. We did a bunch of, like we always do, vinyl variants that we have for sale at mxpx.com. We have a picture disc. We had a sand, we had limited to 150, we had the sand filled glow in the dark vinyl, and those sold out really quickly. But just cool stuff like that is what we try to make stuff that people want to collect. Because a lot of the game for artists, I guess, you know, is merch items, you know, whether it's like vinyl, obviously is huge. People are trying, you know, killing it with vinyl still. I'm sure at some point that train will slow down and people will stop buying vinyl, but we always try to keep our vinyl a normal price. Like, you can just $25 for this vinyl or $30 for this specialty vinyl or something like that. But but just having it available for is important to us so that they don't get gouged by the people trying to get the rare one for like $200, $300, that kind of thing. Thousands. Yeah. I've seen MXPX records for like $1,000. I'm like, what? Okay.
That's crazy, bro. All right. Yeah, that's the people just buy it just to flip it.
Craziness.
Don't stay right here. I'm getting my charger.
Yeah.
Hang on.
You got it. Yeah, you didn't expect to be on your phone the whole time.
I'm coming. Right here.
So yeah, the new record, MXPX, Find a Way Home. It's available anywhere you stream your music. We'd love for you to add it to your...
Like MySpace or something?
Yeah, MySpace everywhere.
Hey, you know that dude at MySpace, Tom?
Yeah, Tom.
He's like... you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Yeah, Tom, that's his name, right?
Tom from MySpace.
He like, you know he's bumming. You know, hold on a second. You know he's bumming, bro. Because... they like
all that money.
I was checking my battery life. That's when my hand was all crazy because I was like, oh, I gotta put some charger. Because you know, I was so advanced that you know, I wanted you to record this on Skype, but I didn't have my phone charged. So, I'm a bike rider, bro. I'm trying to be a podcaster. I'm trying to do this podcast.
All good. That same with Tom, I'm sure, at this point. But so, hey, why is Tom bummed? All the money, or
so at the time, they were like, oh, he made $30 million, dude, he's killing it. And now they're like, he's probably looking at like Zuckerberg, like, what?
Yeah, that's true. Well, if he did something, I mean, hopefully he invested some of that money.
You
and
know
he's
what is crazy. I saw this thing. This is totally off the subject about you and your music and stuff. And I'm going to get back to that. I just want to say this real quick. Jeff Bezos' ex-wife cashed in a fourth of her stock and she got $10 billion. What's going on?
$10
billion. So, billion.
Billion. Billion, yeah, B.
Billion. She cashed in only a quarter of her stock.
That's insane. She's got some cash. She's got some spending money now. Does that
she's
affect
single.
The stock in a negative way, probably? Is it like...
I don't know, but... She's single. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm kidding.
Well, dude, work your magic,
no, I'm
Rick.
Just saying, isn't that a trip, though, to think? Like, wow, what a trip. Like, because we're talking about social... I saw this thing on social media today. A guy's getting $100,000 a month, he's saying, because he's asking celebrities what kind of... they do for a living and driving their cars on TikTok.
It can't be true. I mean, I find it hard to believe most of those stories, but it could be true for some. It's just a very, very narrow gap of people that are going to make so much money of doing nothing.
But life isn't just about money as much as rad is. It's about, you know, I don't know. It's a weird thing with me. How do you feel about that? Like, you got to have money to survive, but
yeah.
But if you do it doing something you love, then you're really winning after life. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like, would you rather have $100 million, but you can't ever, you have to be alone for the rest of your life. No sex. Or would you rather have $1 million and you have to be alone for a year, but then you're fine. No sex for a year.
I don't know. I take the big one and just go for it.
I just take the big, no sex, but I'm rich.
Hey, but here's the deal. I've been single, bro. I got divorced. Like, a lot of people know this, and I make this podcast about me, but I'm going to say this real quick. I got divorced. I stayed single. And at the time when we did that show, I just got divorced. I had to move back in an apartment, lost the house that I had, all of it at that time. And I have stayed single this whole time.
Wow.
With my kids.
All right.
And I'm not out, like, you know what I mean, acting like I'm 20. You know what I'm saying? So, like, my life is a lot, like, about work, about, like, building things, about, like, writing, and about building my kids. So, at this point in my life, where I'm at, I'm taking that big money, bro.
$100 million. But you can't see your kids either. That's, see.
Money. I'm sick of them anyways. Get out of here. I took all my money. Don't get paid back.
Yeah. Dang.
Monster makes water now. Do you know that?
No. Wait, what? Yeah, of course they do.
Okay, Monster on Warped Tour did tour water.
Then they did tour water, right.
And now they package it and sell it. This one's a soda water.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, you got like LD, you know, killing the game with the canned water. Monster's like, oh, yeah, well, let's just do that. We already have the... They should have done it a long time ago. That's great.
I like how you abbreviate it out of respect.
Oh, yeah.
Abbreviate that out of respect.
They're not paying me. Yeah. They're not paying me.
Yeah, I hear you. I be abbreviating that too. Hey, so one time I interviewed Henry Rollins at, I sent you that clip, at Little Rock, Arkansas for ESPN. And one of the things was I had to say the city. So let me check my battery up. I had to say the city where you guys were from. And it's Bremerton, right?
No, it's Bremerton.
See, this is why Henry got upset.
You couldn't get it.
And I said Bremerton, and I said it like three times, and he's like, "Let me do it." And then he did the throw. It was Party at My House. Is that the name of it?
Party at My House. Be there.
Be there. And then I'm like, why am I here, Henry? And he's like, I don't know. I just want your money. And I'm like, I'm doing this for free. And he's like, oh, and like that was the oddest interview I've ever done. It's really weird. It's really weird.
I love that clip, dude. I'm gonna post that clip at some point. I got to
do it.
That's so good.
So, yeah, it was pretty funny. I didn't know if you'd ever seen that before.
No, I had never seen it. I was blown away. I was like, dude, where? Of course, those were back in the TV days where if you don't catch it on TV, you might never see it.
Exactly. Do you think? Well, the point to that is also too is, do you think it's important? Well, I already know the answer to this, but I'm gonna ask you. You know, do you think it's important to be consistent with who you are? In other words, like, I meet people and I've interviewed people like that, and I'm like, whoa, and then I realize, oh man, I wish I never met them.
Mm.
How do you feel about yourself?
I feel...
Do you care of yourself? You know, do you understand where I'm going with this question?
Yeah. I feel like I'm decent enough with interviews. I feel good about my interviews and talking to people, and it takes a lot to, I mean, I could be boring, I guess, but aside from that, I'm not really afraid of anything bad happening on an interview. Like, not anymore. Not these days, but.
But just meeting people, like being who you are, like you take, it seems like you're the kind of guy that would take time to stop and be like, can I get a photo? And be like, yeah. Can I get an autograph? Sure. Can I say hi? You seem like that guy.
I've learned the hard way over the years. Like, back when we were just getting big, we were a punk band, you know, we played punk songs, and then all these people were asking us for our autograph. And this was probably 1995 or like our 96, somewhere in there. And these kids would come up and ask us for our autograph. We're like, we don't do autographs. And they're just bummed out. You know, you just bum out these people. And I, looking back on those times, I've realized, okay, no matter what, if you can, give them what they want. If you can. And because that one little interaction is going to mean so much more to them than it ever will to you. And I am not somebody that naturally goes, hey, how are you? You know, like, I'm not that guy. I walk into a room, not say anything, and just look around and mind my own business. But if all eyes are on me, then you got, oh, hey. Okay, so like there's two different parts of me, I guess. But looking back on those times, I realized, okay, it's all about the interaction in those 2 seconds, those 5 seconds, whatever. And the more time you can give them, even better. And I have to mentally prepare for that, honestly, as being a recluse, not a recluse. Like kind of a recluse. Like I definitely don't mind being alone.
You spend a lot of time alone?
I spend a lot of time alone. I'm by myself here at the studio most days. And I can yell, I can scream, I can do whatever I want. When I go home, if the kids are around, you know, they're yelling and screaming, so I'm chill. And so, like, I almost, like, I if the space is open, I take up that space. But if there's a lot of people, I shrink and I become small. Unless, of course, it's my show. Then I'm not going to do that. But, you know, it's like a whole different ball game when it comes to, like, an entertainment aspect. But I'm just talking about on our personal level as a person. I'm not the type of person that's like Robin Williams was, where every interview, he was just taking over the interview and he was being crazy and he was doing his thing. Like, that's just not me. Like, I can have fun and I have fun with you.
But you spend a lot of time with yourself, a lot of time. I mean, you're also a parent, so you must spend time with your kids.
Yep.
I believe that, you know, because I noticed that in a lot of things, like from bike riding and like in music in a sense, and especially in comedy, there's like a lot of scenes and clicks and this and that. And for me, it's like I've always tried to be cool with everybody and not really like be kind of not like a chameleon, not like that. A social butterfly, I don't know if that's the word, but just cool with everybody. And like in the sense of like, I don't want to be part of a clique. And I'm going to ask you this question because I feel like it takes away from my creativity, you know? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I ride alone a lot because then I'm able to like, I get creative with my angles, with how I want to film, what I want to shoot. But I love being around people too, but I don't have any problem at all being alone. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about cliques? Do you feel the same way? Do you think?
I've always been a loner a lot. You know, I have a couple really close friends and I have close friends around the world and country, but yeah, I'm the same. Like I really love people and I love being around people that I'm comfortable around. And even now and again, I love being in a big crowd at a football game or at a show and just having fun. But it does drain me, you know, it'll take my energy a little bit. So that's why I regain my energy being alone. I can just relax. There's like a, I don't know. You can completely be yourself when you're alone. Right. And I think because I've been in a band and been a front man for so long, the two really help each other out. Like one gives me energy. The other gives me energy too. Like I get energy from entertaining a crowd, of course I get energy from that, but of course it drains your battery too. Like if you're doing that every night, I need time alone. I need time to, I would go, you know, when we do the longer tours, we'd have a bunk, you know, each of us have our bunks on the bus and that was the best place ever. Just go in there, write in my journal, listen to music.
The coffin,
sleep, so much sleep. So so much of when I'm playing live, so much of my energy is focused on that show, on that hour and a half, performance, and all my thoughts and my focus, my energy, it's moving towards something. So I'll do certain things during the day, always, because I have an idea of what my body needs to feel like later on in the evening. Because normally, like, I could be like just working out all day. Sorry, I just threw my phone on the floor. I don't know what it is, but like mentally, it's a mental thing. I don't want to be doing too much mental work before I go on stage. Because mentally is what it's all about. Like physically, I can get through it. Like it's about putting in the work beforehand. Have you worked out? Have you done your cardio? Whatever. Are you in shape? Right. Yeah, I think usually I am pretty good. So, but mentally, if I'm not prepared, I could have a bad show because of that. I could not be connected with the audience. Not really, my thoughts not there. So like, for me, it's all about focusing my energies, focusing my mental energy on what I'm going to be doing. Boom, 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 boom. And of course, throughout the day, you do other things. But
yeah,
for me, it's all about, it's weird. It's weird that it is, because I feel like I waste a lot of time that day. I don't get as much work done, right? But for me, the work is being focused. Like, it's not easy for me to be singular in mind. That's definitely my personality, is to have a lot of, I wouldn't say ADHD, but that's an easy way to describe it. I don't take any kind of medication for it, or do I? I don't know. And so it's probably in the food supply, people. You just have ideas, and then you're like, you're on your way to do something, and you have an idea, and you're like, I gotta do that. And you get pulled in that way. And that is me in a nutshell. Like, I do that all day, every day. I'll be walking around this studio. I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. And I'll do five things before I get to what I'm doing. Some of that is procrastination, right? Like, we all procrastinate when we know we need to do something and we don't wanna do it because it's hard work. So we'll do all these other little tasks. Oh, well, I gotta do this anyway. So that's what I do. So for me,
I get it.
Yeah.
So creatively, obviously, it's just, I would think that you being by yourself creatively, that's what I was saying. Like, when you're in a click or a scene, the click becomes your way of thinking. Mm. And for me at least, like, I have to be part of that. I like to be part of what people do, and like, friendship circles and stuff. But ultimately, I get the biggest kick out of like being creative on my own, and like, that's when my mind's clear. I'm not having to feel like I got to fit into anything. I think that's kind of. Do you feel that way by being alone? Do you find your best writing and stuff? Obviously, probably when you're alone, or is it just kind of. It's all, every song is different.
Usually, I'm alone when I'm writing, and a lot of times I'll be reviewing I'll have an idea and I'll record it on my voice memos, and I'll have like a bunch of ideas or a bunch of the same kind of idea, but reiterated different ways. And I'll just run through those ideas either in the car driving from the studio back to home or home to the studio, or on my runs. When I'm really in a songwriting mood, I won't listen to podcasts when I'm running, because a lot of times I'll listen to like podcasting. I'll put on my song ideas. So I'm just running and just hearing these song ideas, and I'll have new ideas to go along with that, or I'll be like, I don't like that. Just make decisions while you're doing something kind of physical or whatever. Like, that to me is a great process. And I don't know if other people do something similar, probably.
I do. I go riding.
Yeah.
I've been doing this ride through Hollywood. It's a 10-mile ride for the last 20-something years. I've written so much comedy, trick ideas, things I'm going to do in life, music, lyrics. I'm out amongst all this chaos, dodging all these cars and shit. But my mind's like, listening to, if it's a new, we're writing a song and I'm listening to it, mm-hmm. And you're trying to figure something out, or you get an idea for something. And that's where I feel like I'm my most creative. So yeah, I totally understand where you're coming with that.
Yeah.
It just triggers. I don't know what it is. It just triggers something, my creative process. So it sounds like it's the same with you with running.
It's like why people get ideas in the shower, because they're alone in the shower. Well, alone on a bike ride, alone on a run, whatever. It's, you're alone. Alone is the thing, I think. I mean, when I have ideas when other people are around, I feel like they're part of the idea. That's why people, when they're in a room, when a song gets written, most of the time, it's an understanding that all those people are part of the songwriting crew. Yep. Like, even if they haven't put one word or melody in, they're just there, but you're like affecting the vibe in a way. Yeah, I helped write that song. Yeah, I was there, you know.
Oh, you're saying people sitting in the room or something?
Yeah, yeah, like I don't.
Dude, I had that before. Like one, like two line, like two, like don't use that word, use this word, so you could say like you wrote part of the song.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Good, dude. I got this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I didn't need your help. You're good, but like
the way you sing it, your word and my word both kind of work. You know, they both totally work. You just want to get the credit. Hey, Perry Farrell had it down. Stand in the shower thinking, and he's pissing on himself.
Yeah.
That's the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love it. I love that song.
Hey, how did you get into Goldfinger? I mean, obviously, circle of friends, musicians, Feldy. How long have you been jamming with those guys?
Had an audition, man. No, I'm kidding. No,
I don't know. Some bands are like that, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Some bands are. He needed somebody. They were going to Australia, and Kelly was. I think he was playing with Buck Cherry, which he still plays with Buck Cherry, their bass player, Kelly. And so he couldn't do it. And to be honest, there's more to the story. There was some, as known to happen, there's some band strife happening at the time as well.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Feldy calls me up and he's like, dude, what's up? It's been a while. I'm like, yeah, it's random. Okay, hey, what's up, dude? This is 2013, I think, if I had to guess. And he's like, hey, when you want to come to Australia? I'm like, I guess I'm not doing too much. I mean, MXPX was really not doing too much because we were doing like our one or two shows a year, and just like 2014 was when we started really ramping up our touring and our activity with MXPX. So it kind of worked out perfectly that I said, yes, I'll go to Australia. Played bass for Goldfinger. And then after that, just anytime we had a show, he would call me and I would do the show. And so, since 2013, I've been the bass player of Goldfinger, and
it's been that long, really.
Yeah, it has been over 10 years, and
I haven't talked to you forever, but I didn't know it was that long. Crazy, yeah,
it's been a while. Cool. Well, because a lot of those shows and were happening kind of like overseas. We went to the UK a bunch. We went to Australia, like I was saying, and people here in the US didn't even know I was in the band because they didn't see anything happening with Goldfinger. Goldfinger's really only gotten big in the last couple years. Well, last 5 years, I would say. Over the pandemic, they got pretty big. Just like MXPX grew over the pandemic, so did Goldfinger. And awesome. I would say a lot of bands did in a weird way. But since then, it's been much bigger. Like MXPX, actually, now I was talking about shows, other places we played. MXPX headlined Novo in downtown LA. And Goldfinger opened for us. I opened for myself, I guess. And it was crazy. It was the first time we'd done that. You know, it was Mest and I think it was the Ataris and Mest and Goldfinger and MXPX. Pretty crazy show. And
that's a good one.
I played bass, and then literally a half hour later, I'm on stage doing MXPX. And it worked. I wasn't too tired. I was a little more tired. And I did it again back-to-back in Vegas for the When We Were Young Fest this last year in 2023. MXPX played and so did Goldfinger. And so I had to do two shows one day. It was wild. That was a little harder. It was hot.
You're like, stick around, this next band is bad to the bone. And then you come back.
Yeah.
It's my other band, man.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, it was hot. I thought it was hot when we played with Goldfinger, and then it was even worse at like 5:15 when MXPX went on. It was just like we were getting the sun right in our eyes. Vegas.
Yeah, that's cool though. You got to double dip, dude.
Double dip.
Different bands. I mean, come on, bro. That's sick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So it's fun. It's fun to play with Goldfinger. And now and again, our schedules don't line up. Like MXPX has a show and Goldfinger does, so that I won't play bass. And that'll happen this year for sure. I'm sure.
Also, and you guys did that thing with Tony Hawk, right? Did you guys play with him? Didn't he come out on stage with you guys or something not too long ago?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tony came out. When was that? That was for the first day of When We Were Young Fest in Vegas. Tony Hawk came out and sang Goldfinger. Sang Superman by Goldfinger. And that was fun. He did it one time before at the Anaheim House of Blues.
That's it, yeah.
When Goldfinger was headlining that, yeah. That was so much fun. Dude, Tony is a cool guy. I would say... I've met him before. It was so long ago. It was Warped Tour forever ago in France. But I hadn't seen him in person since then. So as far as I'm concerned, this is Tony Hawk. He's legendary. I know he's a normal dude. All people I know are like good friends with him. But still, it's just like, I was a nerd. I was like, dude, nice to meet you.
Classic. He's got a good voice too, man. You know?
Yeah, he's okay. He's all right. Yeah,
he's
I mean, he's heard worse.
It's cool that he's doing it.
He's better than Yoko Ono. I'm gonna put that out there.
I mean, Yoko's pretty banging, bro.
Maybe you heard something different than I heard.
Yoko Ono. That's funny. Yeah, that's cool though, man. It's such a I mean, Tony's a great guy. You know, they're doing the thing. He's doing his thing. He's singing more and more. I just thought that was cool to see. I was like, oh, it's all the homies. I really wanted to go to that when we were Young Fest. They just didn't have any bike riders out there, and I was just like, I remember I DM'd him and I was like, yo, bro, like, you're trying to, like, you know, bring back this vibe. Where's the bike riders at, man? More like, where am I at? Give me So hopefully hope they bring the ramp out again this year. I'd love to, you know, are you going to be there this year again? Or
I don't think we're going to be there this year. I think this year is like all album sets.
I see.
Which is whatever, but it's just, you know.
So bands are playing their whole album?
I think, yeah, they're going to play like whatever their biggest album was.
But then that limits the amount of bands for sure.
See, you know what's funny is like,
so you got like three bands. I mean, if it's Pink Floyd, there's only one band. Then they'll play for 5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. They definitely didn't sell as fast this year for 2024 as they did the last year. I think something happened. Something got messed up somehow. I do know what. I can't say what happened publicly. I'll tell you later. But
yeah, a lot of those big festivals, man. There's a lot of components and a lot of people. Things could go wrong. People be upset. I get it.
I mean, first
festivals is not an easy task.
That first year got one of the shows got shut down due to wind, and so they had to like, okay, we have a workaround for that if that happens again, and so on and so forth. But you know, when it happens when you're not prepared, what do you do? You're screwed. So
exactly,
it's rough.
Did you play Punk in the Park? You did recently with Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I played that too, bro.
That was fun. Before. That was great.
Yeah, that was Warped Tour.
It was. Not a ton of people. I mean, I guess it was pretty full by the end of the night. It was hard to say.
It's a decent amount, but they had the ramp.
It's in a weird spot.
And then I rode too. So, you know, hopefully we'll do some more of those. I mean, for sure. Because, you know, hey.
Hopefully they can find. I mean, I'd like the park when you're in it, but getting there is the worst, I think. And so.
Yeah.
My advice would be find a different park because it's so hard to get there. You can't get an Uber in or out of there if you're. Because there's no cell signal. It's wild. Yeah. But. The festival itself, yeah, I had a blast. Everybody was cool. The bands are awesome. It's a cool idea.
Do you think that whole vibe is coming back?
You know, I mean,
I don't want to say emo because to me, when I think of emo, and some people will be like, "What?" Even Ian McKay will be like, "What?" Ian McKay was emo to me. You know what I'm saying? Like Embrace, that record,
like post punk stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna say emo, but like, do you think that style, that sound of music's like coming back? It seems like it is because. It seems like with the We Were Young Festival, and I heard some other stuff's going to happen. Do you think that that's what's going on with that style of music, that it's going to be coming back hardcore, or is it just like a one-off, you think?
No, I mean, I think it's been back. It's been coming back the last couple of years.
For a while.
Yeah. I think last couple of years with Blink-182 also, you know, because you have that sort of, even though they're pop-punk, they bridge a gap of emo with the younger generations, younger than us, meaning. But, Fall Out Boy, even though they're pop, they still have the emo thing. And My Chemical Romance, I mean, these bands are huge. The fans are people that run major corporations now, you know, which seems like the major corporations should be doing better, cooler stuff. But, that's for another. Guess they have a lot of lame fans, too. Well, guaranteed, if MXPX fans were running the country, things would be much different, much better.
Hey, dude, all I know is if I was running the country, bikes would be allowed in every freaking skate park, bro.
Yeah.
Dude, it'd be so nice.
Skate or die, bro. Literally, skate or you're going to die.
Or you're going to die. Ah. Awesome, dude.
Right.
Listen, man, it's been good talking to you. I'm so stoked. I'm sorry for the problems earlier with this, my amateur ass or podcasting.
Never bring it up or mention it again.
I'm learning from you, bro. I'm gonna always have a tripod handy. I'm gonna use this. It's gonna be sick, dude. It's gonna be sick. And I'd love to come back on your podcast again sometime. Can you plug like your podcast and every, you know, all the stuff? If people can go to get your merch, and drop anything you want right now, so you know my fans could come and you know, they're probably already fans of yours anyways, but remind their ass.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, MXPX is busy. We got shows coming up. You can find tickets and all that at mxpx.com. That's also where you find merch. We got new merch, hoodies, skateboards. We don't have any BMX bikes, but we got skateboards. A bunch of stuff like that. We're all DIY, mom and pop. My mom is actually the manager of our merch store.
And Whoa, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So she runs the whole thing, and we have workers that come in and do the actual stuff. But it's been, like I say, DIY has really been great, you know. And punk rock for me, it makes sense. Like, it's like, okay, we're a punk band. We're gonna do this ourselves. We don't need other people. I mean, sure, we do have. I would say, to leave you with something, not just plugging myself, leave people with something maybe they can use. If you're a creative and you have no idea what to do, how to sell yourself, don't be too worried, because most of these artists and creative people, these big stars, they all have help. They're not doing it themselves, even if it looks like they are. So just do, you just got to do it yourself for a little while. You just got to do it yourself, but find somebody that understands how the world works, partner up with them. That's something that I've done, and it's so helpful. It's tremendous. It's building your team, you know. But at the same time, like you said, you know, you have to have drive. So if you really can't do it yourself right off the bat, choose something you can do. You know, find what you can do. Find what you can get up and feel good about doing every day.
Yep. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, for me, DIY, I was going to plug this real quick. DIY is like a curse and a blessing for me, because I always believe that, like, if I'm good enough, it'll come to me. And a lot of the things in my life have been that way. I haven't gone out to ask people for things or to attach myself for things, right? They organically kind of came by just throwing the energy out there. But nowadays, as I'm getting older, not older, but I realize it doesn't hurt to ask if it's organic. If it's like you're just trying to, like, you know, step on somebody or climb a ladder or something, that's whack. You know what I mean? So still stay DIY, but don't be afraid to ask or reach out, because that, you know, if it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
That seems the way to go. Anyways, so what's your podcast? Where's that at?
My Carrera podcast. It's out every Monday. You can find it. You can find it anywhere you find podcasts, and my YouTube page as well, My Carrera Video. And
your Instagram's the same, right?
Instagram, My Carrera TD. My Twitter is My Carrera TD. Yeah, so it's all. I'm on TikTok. I mean, wherever you are, I probably have something. You can find me.
Google him. Google.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna go hang out with Tom from MySpace.
All right.
He's bumming.
He's traveling.
Dude, I appreciate you, and seriously, thanks for being so patient with me. Much love, dude. I respect you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Rick. Appreciate it.
All right, later, brother. Bye.